Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from the incredible Southampton's business community. And today's show is all about the wonderful world of apprenticeships and upskilling the workforce. And I'm joined in the studio live with Jodie Fair, who is the Programme Manager over at Solent Business and Skills Solutions. Jodie, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here.
You are most welcome. Now, we've had this date in the diary for a little while.
We have.
But the timing couldn't be better. Obviously, off the back of an announcement on Monday to do with apprenticeships and some of the funding that's available. But before we get into that, I wondered whether or not we could kick off with you giving us a bit of a rundown in terms of what you guys do over at Solent Business Skills Solutions. Because I think it's one of Southampton's best kept secrets, if I'm honest.
It has been said before, Matt, I'm not going to lie. So we offer businesses of all sizes support, from everything from net zero to marketing to finance to grants. But the sort of golden thread running through everything we do is apprenticeships and skills. We're all super passionate about making sure businesses have access to the right talent at the right time and it fitting what their business needs.
Sure. I love that. The golden thread running through.
It's true.
Where are you guys based?
So we are based out of Southampton City Council. We work across the Solent. So we work from the New Forest right the way through that coastal strip down to Havant, funded by both Southampton City Council, Portsmouth City Council and New Forest District Council.
Brilliant. So you get funding from the different councils, but are you council run or is there a team that runs the organisation?
So we are council run, but we are sort of a team that are absolutely outward facing. So, you know, you'll very rarely find us in the civic offices, any of them. We're out and about with business and, you know, trying to attend places where businesses sort of congregate.
Absolutely. And you do a lot of work around helping businesses, you know, find and recruit apprentices. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in just a mo. How big is the team there?
So we've got a team of 8 different people, all with different specialisms, everything from supporting startups right the way through to apprenticeship advisors through to net zero advisors.
Nice. And of course, your role as program manager, what does that entail?
Corral the team, Matt.
Are you the glue that holds everything together?
I don't know if my team would say that. I'm the person that tries to give us a strategy and a vision for sort of the future, next sort of 12, 24 months.
Nice. So you must be quite a strategic thinker.
No, I'm very operational. I like doing and getting my hands dirty.
Absolutely brilliant. Give us a bit of an insight into the facilities because, you know, there's lots of useful things that the local business community can use.
Oh my goodness, there really is.
Talk us through it.
So we've got, as you say, one of the best kept secrets in Southampton, I think, in the Business and IP Centre, based down in Central Library.
Easy to get to.
Really easy to get to. Lots of public transport links. There is some great facilities down there that people sort of don't know. We're up on the first floor. We've got 3 staff in there that will help you in whatever you need to do. But we've got a really large room that's got sort of all the technology that people can use for meetings, for get-togethers, for networking events. That's there for, you know, free of charge, people to use.
So people, like business owners, people can just rock up if they need a place to work for the day.
Yep. So we've got some co-working spaces, we've got some pods, but we've also got a specific event room. So if your team, you're a small business, you want a team get-together, you haven't got the office space to do that, we can probably accommodate you there. We've got podcast studios. So wow. If you're thinking about starting a pod about your business, we've got the facilities with the technical mics and things like that. We've got, we do free headshots. So, you know, we've all got those LinkedIn profiles, which I don't know about you, but mine's like about 10 years old and I do not look like that anymore. So true. But you can have your new headshots done there. We've also got, you know, when people are perhaps starting their business and they're doing a shop on Etsy or eBay, We've got a professional studio set up with a light box and things like that, so you can take great product photographs as well.
Oh, wow, that's cool. What are the pods? What are they all about?
So the pods are like, you know, like sort of soundproof little spaces for people to hold meetings, to work from. Again, they're free of charge. They're easy accessible. The other thing that I would absolutely sort of wave the flag for is we've got some great databases down there. Mm. Things like Cobra, Mintel, Grantfinder, all of which, you know, quick Google will tell you what they are better, far better than I can. But they have got some really good business intelligence. So if you're thinking of starting up a dog groomers, it will tell you, you know, what insurance you need, what your competitors are in the area. You know, what are the things you need to think about as a dog groomer? What sort of things you put in place? I had a small business for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. Unfortunately, we had to close due to COVID. And one of the main things that really scared me when I was setting up the business was, how about if I get something wrong? Mm. How about if I'm unintentionally doing something illegal? I haven't got the right insurance. I'm not got the right paperwork. What this does is give you all the hints and tips and steps you need to start that business. So there's some great resources down there. I'd thoroughly recommend, if you Google BIPC Southampton, all of the resources will come up and you can actually book online.
Oh, wow. And do people have to book or can they just turn up?
I'd recommend booking because we do have events, etc. in there and people do use the facilities, which is great. So we'd hate for you to turn up and not be able to get what you want out of it.
Sure.
But a real simple booking form online and one of the team will phone you back and confirm that.
Oh, it's fab, isn't it? And you said just a minute ago about the event space. So if somebody's, say, for instance, wants to hold a training course.
Absolutely.
Then there's a space there.
There is.
Brilliant. And it sounds to me, it doesn't matter if you're a startup or if you're an established company, there's going to be something there that you can probably make use of.
100%. And the great thing is there's the advisors there and, you know, they'll be able to take you through what's on offer, what's available. And they're great guys. Charles and Maher down there are brilliant. They know their stuff. We've even got specialist IP lawyers that come in every so often. I think it's once a month that do an IP clinic. So if you've got specific questions about intellectual property that you really want to explore, then they can book you a half an hour with an IP lawyer that would cost you hundreds of pounds in a normal scenario. Yeah. But hopefully we'll give you the step in the right direction that you might need.
Absolutely brilliant. This is, sounds like an absolute asset.
It is.
For the business community. I'm looking forward to popping in.
You should.
So, should we have a chat about the announcement made on Monday?
Yes.
Concerning apprenticeships.
Absolutely.
The announcement made by the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us the rundown?
Absolutely. So, Prime Minister made two key announcements on Monday. The first was around the how much it costs for an SME to get involved in an apprenticeship. Up until very recently, there was a cost of 5% of any apprenticeship training the small employer had to pay. The Prime Minister announced on Monday that that would no longer be the case for young people up to the age of 21. So an employer can take on an apprentice, put them on one of over 700 standards.
So many.
Literally so many. My two favourite, from puppet making to nuclear decommissioning.
Wow.
And pretty much everything in between.
Yeah.
Interestingly, from levels 2, which is GCSE level, right up to level 7, which is master's degree. So effectively, you can get your staff a master's degree, what in a normal circumstance, so exactly the same degree, would cost them, you know, £60,000, £70,000, £80,000. There'd be that, you know, that cost to that individual. As an employer, that can be done for absolutely no cost.
Yeah.
So the first announcement was anyone up to 21, totally free of charge to the employer. So that's excellent news. Second announcement was around something called levy transfer. So any employer with a pay bill of over 3 million basically gets taxed 0.5% of that pay bill and it gets put into a pot for them to use for apprenticeships. Now, there comes a point in every large employer's journey when there's, you know, they've done it. It's done. They can put new staff through it, but they're not spending all of this money. So this money sits in a pot for 24 months and then goes back to Treasury. What they've enabled these large employers to do now is to support their community. So up to 50% of that pot can be transferred. And if you have someone that's 21 plus that wants to do an apprenticeship, you can access that pot through us up to 50% of it. And large employers such like B&Q support us regularly. They transfer money to lots of SMEs to support them with their apprenticeship training.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's great.
And are you seeing an increase in demand from young people that perhaps don't necessarily want to go down the full-time uni route?
Absolutely.
They want to earn some money, but they also want to get that qualification as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we're all getting to, you know, the cost of living crisis. There's ongoing issues with universities and how they access that learning. Apprenticeships give people the opportunity to have exactly the same qualifications. I can't emphasise that enough. Degree apprenticeships are basically degrees delivered in the workplace. No different. Without the debt, with the work experience, and so you're coming out at the same point. There's some stats that an apprentice earns around 100k more than a graduate at the same point.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Unless you've got a real calling and you know what, you know, you're going to university to be a doctor, you absolutely should go to university, although there is a doctor apprenticeship coming. You should do that. But if you're looking at something maybe digital marketing or something like that, there are, you know, just look at it as an option. It's not right for everyone, but you should explore all your options.
Absolutely. And it's really, I think this is really interesting, Jodie, because you actually started out your career as an apprentice.
I did, yes.
Tell us about that.
So I left school with an average bunch of GCSEs and decided to go to college because that's what my friends were doing. And I'm sure a lot of other young people make that decision for exactly the same reason. I got 6 weeks into college and I hated it. It wasn't for me.
Wasn't for you.
I'm not the sort of person that learns academically. So I went to my mum, you know, mum, I'm hating it. She was like, you're not leaving college because I don't want you around under my feet. Find yourself a job before you do that. I was super lucky enough to find an apprenticeship. And, you know, that absolutely brought me into the world of apprenticeships and probably was the start of what has been my lifelong career.
It's absolutely brilliant. Well, look, Jodie, hold that thought because I'd like to delve into a little bit more about, you know, the steps that you've taken to lead up to your incredible position as a, you know, programme manager. But we're just going to take a short break. We've got some ads. We've got a little bit of music. I think we've got Beyonce coming up. A favourite track of yours, I believe.
Love that.
So, yeah, don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect, but in the middle of winter and summer it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer opening the windows just isn't enough, which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm joined in the studio by the one and only Jodie Fair, Programme Manager over at Jodie. Where are you from?
Silent Business and Skills Support.
Southampton's best kept secret.
True.
Not for much longer, though.
Hopefully not.
After this. So when we left off, we were talking about how you actually started out your career as an apprentice. And now, a couple of years later, you're now helping other amazing businesses find and support apprentices. What was your apprenticeship in, Jodie?
It's a bit more than a couple of years. So I did my apprenticeship in business, and I felt like that really gave me the fundamentals to, you know, explore so many different avenues. Yeah. So it's one that, you know, if we're speaking to a younger person, say, you know, 16 to 18 year old, we always say, you know, like, business is not just about being sat in an office. It's a first rung on a ladder. It's giving you an idea of how that business operates. It can sort of lead into so many different things, but it gives you a really good grounding in the business as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then what did you do? So after you completed your apprenticeship, what happened next?
I went travelling for a year.
Did you? Where did you go?
We were mainly in Australia, which was amazing. Yeah. Done lots of different temping work out there, but I came back and was really lucky enough to get an opportunity at Hampshire Training Enterprise Council, who at the time was the funding body for all of the training within Hampshire. That then morphed, got taken over, eventually was part of the national funding agency for apprenticeships, the National Apprenticeship Service, and I was responsible for employer engagement in the South Central area. So, you know, most of my career has been focused on working with employers and engaging employers in skills as a whole. So that's always been really important to me, because I think sometimes getting involved in the whole skills ecosystem can seem really scary. There's conflicting information out there. There's lots of people selling to you. And sometimes what Silent Business and Skills Solutions aims to do is to remove all the sales talk, remove and give you the basic impartial advice you need as an employer to make a decision about whether it's right for you or not. And it's not right all the time, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but there might be, if an apprenticeship's not right, there might be something else that might be right for you. So I just think it's important to have, you know, people out there that are giving factual, accurate information that is right for that individual business, because every business is different.
It's nice, isn't it? Jodie, what is it you love about the industry you work in?
There's a few things. You know, I'm really lucky that I get to go to lots of different businesses. You know, I've been to some really interesting places, and they're not the big flashy places that you would think they are. You know, I can remember going to a great little business on the outskirts of the city that makes the coins that tells the traffic, like the paying machines, whether they're fake or not.
Oh.
And it's such a specific, but it was the most fascinating business. You know, I'm super lucky that I go to places and people are so passionate about what they do that they just bring you along with them. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Oh, I love that. I actually love that. And I can tell you're grinning from ear to ear. And it's funny, really, isn't it? Because, you know, I get lots of business owners in, and each and every one of them, they've just got this sort of passion within them because they truly love and believe what they do. And I get that same vibe right here today in the studio with you, Jodie.
I think, you know, and that's the lovely thing for us. You know, we do go out and see businesses, and you know, the passion they have for their businesses, you know, you can't help wanting to help them and support them and do whatever you can to make their business better, more efficient, you know, whatever it might be.
Absolutely. I would seriously, you know, I've not even been down to, you know, the hub, but anybody there, it sounds like it's just worth a visit. Even if you pop down for a couple of hours, meet some of the team, see the facilities on offer.
Because, please stay.
Yeah, because you might actually learn something or find something useful that you didn't even know was there.
100%. And, you know, you don't have to come to us. If you go on the website, which is solentbusinessandskillsolutions.com, we'll come to you. You know,
Will you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Going on tour.
Yeah. We'll come to you and we'll talk about the offer. We'll let you know what's going on in the city and beyond. And, you know, we'll see what we can do to help you. And if coming into the library is the right thing to do because you need access to the databases or anything, we'll arrange that appointment there and then and get that sorted for you. So you don't need to come to us. We will come to you.
Brilliant. Well, let's chat a bit more about apprenticeships, because so can any business take on an apprentice?
Yes. That was a quick answer.
If it's literally as simple as that. Then
it is. It genuinely is. So there are opportunities. Now, it's sometimes easier, you know, or it's perceived to be easier for the larger companies that have got HR,
Sure.
But the reality is we have businesses that are sole traders. Mm-hmm. We have multinational businesses, all of them can take on an apprentice. There's no barrier.
Yeah, for sure. Can we talk about the skills side of what you do? Because that's also interesting, shall I say.
Yeah, there is. I think, again, it's, I hate keeping using the phrase the best kept secret, but as a business, there are lots of ways you can get involved. Mm. And that can be anything from school work experience, graduate work experience. You know, Southampton Uni have an amazing opportunity where you can get a free intern. You know, there are T-level work placements. So there are lots of different opportunities for you to either take young people into your business. But on the flip side of that, looking at your current staff, if you've got people that want to be upskilled or need to be upskilled, there are lots of opportunities for them to do that. Qualifications, short courses, you name it, it's out there. And I would say probably 90 to 95% of it's fully funded.
Yeah.
So there's no cost to the business. So it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, it's great, isn't it? Hasn't it? You know, not necessarily a perk for your employees, but it's kind of, it's a bit of added value. It's sort of, you know, investing in your staff is a really good way to keep them.
It really is. So again, more stats. People that are invested in stay longer. They're more loyal to the business. And even if you're bringing younger people into the business, if you can give a current member of staff a mentor role, people like that. People like passing on their knowledge and looking after someone, taking them under their wing, developing their skills. They get as much out of that as that young person does. So it's a win-win.
You're talking my language. I love sharing what I know.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just get a kick out of it.
Same as everyone else.
I love it. I love the aspect of what you guys do. What about the wider business support? Because you said in the break about these net zero courses. What are they?
So we've been hearing from a lot of small businesses, couple within the city actually, that work with or are in the supply chain of very large businesses. Let's just say a certain soft drink manufacturer, for example. And they're finding now that these large businesses are saying, right, to contract with us, to be part of our supply chain, you need a net zero plan. And the, you know, the businesses are going, what? You know, what does that look like? So we're running some one-day courses, held either Barclays Eagle Labs within the BIPC in Central Library or the Guildhall in Portsmouth, whatever works for you best. One-day course which talks about the science of net zero. So it really goes into, you know, what does carbon mean? What's a carbon calculator? How do you operate it? You get access to a Clean Growth UK carbon calculator, totally free of charge, so you can work out what your actual carbon footprint is. But it also practically gives you hints and tips on how you can reduce your carbon footprint and comes up with a plan that you can work towards. So what can you do in the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? And that's the sort of thing that, you know, your upward supply chain is looking for. So, you know, it is better to be prepared. But also, you know, I think customers are becoming a lot more savvy around the sustainability issues. You know, they want to be a bit greener. We've all seen the David Attenborough programs and none of us want that to happen. So, you know, people are buying from those companies that can talk about their green credentials.
Yeah, it's nice. And that net zero course, is there a cost involved?
Free of charge.
Wow. Your bookings are going to skyrocket now.
That's what we want.
What about the wider business support? Because you mentioned earlier about the grant finding software that you guys have got.
Absolutely. So within Central Library, we talked a little bit about Mintel and Cobra. There's also a product called Grant Finder, which essentially brings together all of the grants available throughout the country into one place. You can search by area, by whether you're a community interest company, a charity, or, you know, a normal business. You can cut it in all different ways, and it gives you the opportunities of where you might be able to find funding, whether that be for R&D, to develop a new product, or actually to do something within the community or something like that. So again, free of charge to use. All you need to do is make an appointment with one of the team and they'll take you through the process.
It's incredible, isn't it? Can we touch on CICs?
Yes.
And for anyone out there that doesn't know what a CIC is?
Community Interest Company.
Nice one. So how can you guys support what, you know, that type of organisation?
The thing with community interest companies is they're businesses. You know, they, although it is absolutely about the community, there still is you know, there's a service to provide, there's something that needs to happen, and an amount of money needs to be made to make sure that that continues. So we can do exactly what we can do for a normal business. No difference, no change, no extra charges or anything like that. So we can provide business support around marketing, around finance, pricing. What does your business plan look like? What's your plan for the next 12, 24 months? So it's all there. What I'd say to anyone thinking, oh, they might be able to help me with my marketing. Look, go online, have a look, fill in the contact us form or give us a call and we'll do our best to help you. I don't think there's been many businesses yet that we haven't been able to help in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, it's probably easier to count those ones than to list off all of the businesses. Because you said in the break, you know, you've helped hundreds, if not thousands.
Yeah, thousands of businesses over the years with all different things, you know, apprenticeships, skills, but also the wider business support and things like that. I think we've had over 100 businesses on the Net Zero courses now as well.
Wow. Do you guys offer any kind of networking opportunities for businesses to get together?
So that's not something we've explored at the moment because there's some really good networking opportunities within the city as well.
Sure.
And we're not about replacing what's there. We're trying to fill the gaps of what's not there.
Yeah, nice. I
so
like that.
There's some great, brilliant networking events about, and you know, we can point you towards those. Mm. That really happy to do that.
Yeah, that's really cool. We're going to also, in part three, because we're going to take a short break in just a mo, but you've got a couple of success stories that you're going to be sharing. And these are examples of businesses that have maybe taken on apprenticeship.
Absolutely. So we've got businesses that have taken on apprentices and access to business support.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Well, look, don't go away. We're going to take another short break. I can't believe how quickly that has gone,
Jodie. So quick.
So we're going to take another short break. We've got some ads. We've got a bit of music for you. And then we'll be right back after this.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork. Both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
So I'm delighted to be in the studio by the incredible Jodie Fair, who's Programme Manager over at Solent Business and Skills Solutions. Jodie, how are you doing?
Good.
We've just been having a brilliant chat about apprenticeships and upskilling the workforce. Jodie, tell me, what benefit do apprenticeships have on the, you know, sort of local economy, I suppose, or even wider economy, really?
I mean, it's so important. We've got, you know, I think we operate specifically our service across two cities, you know, that have got really similar problems. You know, we've got significant areas of deprivation. We've got young people that are, for whatever reason, not engaging at school. We've got young people who are second, third, fourth generation unemployed. You know, it's hard for them to see how they get on in life without sort of positive role models and things like that. What an apprenticeship can do for a young person is absolutely change the way they feel, the way they operate. To get that first foot in the door, that first rung on the ladder of something that they've got an interest in.
Yeah.
Can be life-changing,
yeah.
And not only for that young person, but for that whole family. So, you know, for no other reason, it's hugely beneficial for your business. It's new talent. It's people that look at things differently. Even if that doesn't get you, you know, doing something good, putting something back into the community is, you know, it should be on everyone's tick list. because it gives you a feeling you just can't replicate.
Yeah, sure. I must admit, I'm a big believer in paying things forward, you know.
For sure.
I've been given some great advice and some phenomenal support in my own kind of business journey. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, you know, wherever you get the opportunity to pay something forward, if you're a big believer in karma,
yeah,
then it's a good thing to do isn't it? I wonder if you could share, and you've got a few success stories of, you know, businesses that have perhaps taken on an apprentice. Could you share some of that with us?
Absolutely. So, you know, we've got businesses within the city that have taken on apprentices over the last sort of 10 years that are now in senior management positions. They are the lifeblood of the company and they started as an apprenticeship. We've got particular sectors such as hairdressing, such as engineering, where it's so fundamental to their business. They don't recruit any other way.
Yeah.
I think traditionally apprenticeships have been thought of as engineering, hairdressing, construction, but it's so much more than that now that you can get, you know, your accountancy qualifications, your nursing, you can be in a solicitor through an apprenticeship. So the scope of what's on offer to people is there's not a lot of businesses we come into contact with that can't make use of at least one, if not more, apprenticeships.
Absolutely. And I suppose, like, from the employee's perspective, you know, going to university isn't cheap.
It isn't, and
this represents a really good pathway, I suppose, to earning some money, getting the equivalent qualification. Well, it's the same qualification, isn't it, actually?
Exactly.
And it's kind of like a win-win, isn't it, for all parties?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. You can't put into words the fact that, you know, you're giving someone a chance, they're getting the same qualification of what, you know, no one wants to come out of university with 60, 70k's worth of debt and have to pay that back the rest of their life.
No.
If you can get the same qualification a different way. But we do need, you know, more employers to give those opportunities. So we're not putting our young people in the position where they have to. They don't have any other choice.
Absolutely. Because like you say, so there was the announcement on Monday.
Yes.
From the Prime Minister. Do you want to just give us a quick reminder on that?
Absolutely.
And the reason being is obviously, you know, from an employer's perspective, all they're really having to pay is their salary, which they would pay anyway.
Absolutely.
The training costs are, in effect,
free.
Yeah.
Nicely
put.
The Prime Minister's announcements on Monday focused on two things. For those up to the age of 21, free apprenticeship training. So that's no cost to you as the business, as the employer. If you've got individuals that are over 21, then large employers can transfer up to 50% of their levy pot over to you as small employers to pay that. So in the majority of cases, and there'll always be an exception that proves the rule, in the majority of cases, you should not have to pay for apprenticeship funding or apprenticeship training.
Nice. And just circling back round on that wider business support that you guys offer, because it's not just apprenticeships where you provide support.
It's not.
It's those sort of wider business skills and support. And you were just talking in the break about the local chauffeur company.
So Nick from Southampton Chauffeur Hire contacted us, I think it was about a month ago now, and said that, you know, spoke to one of our advisors and mentioned that he had a few issues with his website. He'd done, you know, small business, one man band, done his website himself.
Bit of DIY,
but it wasn't operating the way he wanted it to. So we were really lucky to be able to put him into contact with our own technical guy, Adam. Big shout out to him, who is an ex-apprentice. He finished his apprenticeship about 12 months ago. And he was able to talk him through online. 45 minutes he spent with him and made some real key changes to his website. His website's now working more efficiently. He has more visitors. And, you know, it's not necessarily big bits of, you know, support that people need. Sometimes it's just a few little tweaks that makes a huge difference to their business. So, yeah, big shout out to Nick from Southampton Chauffeur Hire. He really appreciated the help and now has a fully functioning website.
That is absolutely awesome. I just wonder though, Jodie, I'm sat here with a question on my mind, and that is, all this support sounds almost too good to be true. Is there a limit to the amount of support a business can get?
Absolutely. There will come a point, Matt, where we've done all we can. And I guess that's the limit.
Yeah.
There is not a specific number of hours. There's not, you know, we've got employers. Another one that comes, local company that comes to mind is BSA Regal. Mm-hmm. We've supported them with apprenticeship recruitment. We've secured them funding from a large levy payer to pay for that apprentice. We're also doing some work with them around net zero. They're attending one of our courses. And we're also doing some business support for them. Now, that whole package is costing them nothing. We're happy to help support a local business to grow and take on new people. It's a win-win. When, you know, as a city, we need to grow. That's one of the fundamental things. If we want to reduce deprivation and all of the other things, we need to grow. We can't grow without employers growing. So anything we can do to help, we will.
I think you're going to be inundated after this.
I hope so.
I just think what you guys are doing is absolutely brilliant. And of course, it sounds to me, if a business owner came to you and you didn't necessarily have the answer, you'd probably be able to put them in touch with somebody that does.
So we've got a really good business support network that we've built around us, which is lots of small SMEs that operate within the city that are really helpful and are keen to offer other small businesses. Mm. So if we can't help you, we are bound to know someone that can.
Yeah, nice. Jodie, have you got any advice for, you know, if there's somebody out there listening in and they're thinking about maybe taking on an apprentice, maybe it's their, you know, first time, have you got any advice?
Yeah, so first thing I'd do is say make sure you've got the right standard and the right provider to deliver that standard. That's really important. Second thing I'd say is, you know, these, especially if it's a younger person, make sure you've got a mentor in place. Make sure you've got someone there that can hold their hand, support them through those sort of first 3 months. Once you get over that first 3 months, you will see a huge return on investment. Mm. But you do need to put a little bit of time in up front, especially with a younger person.
Yeah, you can't just expect somebody from day one, you know, to turn up and hit the ground running. It's just not going to be the case, is it?
You wouldn't expect that with a normal person that you recruited to walk through the door. Absolutely. Everyone needs to undertake some sort of learning in a new job, and an apprentice is no different.
Yeah, and it's probably worth doing a bit of preparatory work before their first day to, you know, give them a bit of a structure, would you say?
Absolutely. Look, a good induction program goes a long way. I think anything you can do, work shadowing, making sure they're aware of the company culture, how you work, you know, what's acceptable and not acceptable. You know, don't assume that they know to phone in sick, because actually, if they've never had a job before, you know, there are some things that we all take because we, you know, we're slightly older and have been in the workplace for a number of years. We know to phone in sick, but actually, if you don't tell that individual, how do they know?
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if we could flip the conversation ever so slightly, because something I love to do on this show is inspire somebody that might be out there that's thinking about starting their own business. Maybe they've got an idea that they think, I could maybe, you know, start my own venture. And you've obviously spoken to hundreds, if not thousands, of local businesses, all at different stages, some startups, some more established. If Jodie, right now, you were sat opposite someone that was like, Jodie, I've got this brilliant business idea, you know, should I do it? What would you say to that person? What advice would you give them?
I'd probably say two things. Number one, go into the BIPC because they'll be able to support you. Shameless plug. And secondly, I'd say do your sums, make sure it adds up, and then go for it.
Go for it, yeah. Because it can be, you know, one of those things, you might end up talking yourself out of it.
Oh, we've all got that inner voice that sort of tries to put paid to exciting things, don't we? So, yeah, no, there is lots of advice out there, including mentoring programs and things like that, that we can link you up with. Don't listen to that voice inside when it's telling you not to do something. Just explore it. Make sure the sums add up and go for it.
Absolutely, because it can be quite daunting in business, can't it? Because a lot of people that start out with an idea, or they start their own business, they're really good at what they do, but running a business is almost like you need a completely different hat. And how I'd kind of describe you guys, imagine like you've got a couple of boxers in the ring, and you've got the people on the outside of the ring, you know, the trainer, you've got the coach, and that's like their support crew. That's kind of almost what I see you guys kind of doing.
I love that analogy, and I'm going to shamelessly steal it.
Ringside support.
Yeah, that's what we are. Yeah, no, that is absolutely right. And I think the thing is, when you do start a small business, you are passionate about the thing you do, but you've got to be HR, you've got to be the accountant, you've got to be the website developer. You know, there are a lot of skills running a business. So, you know, it's important that if you are not an expert in those areas, you get advice, just like you would in normal everyday life.
Yeah, just ask for help.
Absolutely.
But it feels to me that the people's, you know, anyone listening that thinks, do you know what, I need to have a chat with Jodie and her team, just head on over to the website, because there's loads of info on there, isn't it? That's a great place to start. And then if you want to pop in, obviously you can book and pop in.
Yeah, please do. I mean, as I said, you know, you can pop into Central Library. You can also, we will come to you really happily. If you just go on the website, we've got live chat, we've got contact us forms, and it's www.silentbusinessandskills.com.
Nice. Could you, Jodie, could you see yourself doing anything else?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You get such a buzz out of it. I can tell you really enjoy what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, we're at work a long time, aren't we? So, you know, it's important to enjoy what you do. And I'm really, really lucky that, yeah, I'm passionate about what we do.
It's really cool. I'm curious, though, what's next for Solent Business and Skills Solution? Bit of a mouthful.
It is.
What's next? What's on the horizon?
More of the same, I think, Matt. We want to continue to support businesses. There are still a lot of businesses out there that need our support. And until that job's done, which probably is never, we'll continue to offer what we can.
Absolutely. I just want to round off just by, if you could just maybe sum up the announcement from earlier on Monday. So obviously Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister, made an announcement around apprenticeships. Just give us a quick summary.
So really quick summary. It should mean that any employer can access free apprenticeship training, either supported by the government if they're under 21 or supported by a levy transfer if they're over 21.
Do you know what, Jodie? I'm so pleased that you did that apprenticeship when you first started out. It stood you in really good stead, isn't it?
I've been lucky. And, you know, there will be thousands of people out there that have been in a similar situation that an apprenticeship started their career.
And I know we focused a lot on the employer side on the show, but what would you say to an apprentice, or no, sorry, somebody that may be looking, you know, a young person or someone in the world of work that's thinking about doing an apprenticeship? What would you say to that person?
I would say explore all your options. There's, you know, I don't think there is a must, you know, you must not go to university, you must not do an apprenticeship, but make sure you know what your options are and choose the one that's best for you.
And choose that. Well, Jodie, look, we're nearly out of time. It has absolutely flown by. I've really, really enjoyed being in the studio with you. You've got such a great energy. I can imagine if there's anyone out there that, you know, is looking for some support in their business, and it doesn't really matter what department within that, if it's HR, if it's accountancy, if it's marketing, if it's kind of, you know, what that wider business support.
Yep.
You guys are a great, you know, first port of call.
100%.
And you'll be assured of a warm welcome.
If nothing else,
yeah. No doubt. Well, look, Jodie, you know, I wish you the best of luck. I think what you and the team down, you know, at the Hub are doing is just absolutely phenomenal. I think it's great to see organisations like this supporting the business community. And no doubt I'll have to pop down for a cup of tea.
Definitely.
At some point. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. So that's all for this week. If you've enjoyed the business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, I'll be back again next week with another incredible guest. So bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy, or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry, and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.